This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Well, welcome again to the Equip Podcast. My name is Mark Vance. I'm joined here by Tori Haverkamp, and Tori and I today are going to talk about parenting. So if you don't have kids, you need to listen to this because one day you might, or you're a child of someone. I know that is a fact, and there's a lot to learn. So, Tori, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to start this with this question. First off, the family. You have been a parent. You still are a parent. Only of adult children. So who are your kids? How old are they? Kind of give us the Haverkamp narrative.
Yeah, here, so it's fun to talk about my kids because once you get to a certain point and your kids are old, nobody says like, hey, tell me about your kids. Well, some people do, but... you don't say, like, oh, I have a 30-year-old. You just don't do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, but I do. I have, he's 29, actually. We'll be 30 this year. So we have four kids. Luke is 29. Tess is 27. Shay is 25. And Cole is 23.
Wow.
So, and they are all, our second child, Tess, will be getting married. And so then in June, they'll all be married.
Okay, wow.
And yeah.
How many grandbabies?
Just one, Joelle, who's three.
Joelle, who is
she's
three.
Perfect.
Yeah, she's an absolute gem of a baby.
Super fun.
So that's where you're at now. And you guys, Brenton, you raised your kids here at Cornerstone.
We did.
And in Ames, you've gone through all the stages of parenting. And so
we have.
We're going to, when we talk about parenting, I'm going to break it up in like wisdom by stage.
Great.
So I don't know if these are all the same, but like baby stage, little kid before they get to elementary stage, elementary kid, middle school, high school. I'm a middle school parent. We may camp there longer because I don't know quite what I'm getting into here. But I want some just wisdom because you have the perspective both of seeing godly kids through your home and you've been watching families at Cornerstone now for two decades and asking the question, okay, what do parents today need to see and hear? So, okay. To where we're going stages, baby stage.
Okay, so I'm going to break it down into three stages.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I love this.
Okay, so we're going to go preschool.
Ooh. Okay.
0 to 7.
Love it. 0 to 7.
And then we're going to go elementary.
Okay.
About 8 to 12.
Okay.
And then we're going to go adolescence.
Okay.
Because I think that's more.
That's good.
That'll capture more of what we need to
do. So 0 to 7, 8 to 12.
12, 13 to 18. Yeah, we're going to say like 12 because they get kind of teenagerish. I don't
know.
Do you have a 12?
I have a 13-year-old.
Okay, they get kind of teenagerish around 12.
He's very teenagerish at 13.
Yeah, he's looking very teenagerish.
You're telling me.
Yeah, okay, so preschool.
Okay.
Should we start with preschool?
Yep.
So preschool would be anywhere newborn, 0 to, I'd say like, you know, I'm going to group that lower elementary, kindergartenish, 6, 7, in that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, here's how I think about that. So when you have preschool children, you are kind of the sergeant. You're the boss. Okay, so that's the boss stage. You have kids. They don't know how to think. They don't know how to think. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
They don't know how to think. So you are thinking for them. You are the boss, and their obedience is necessary towards you because you're kind of God to them. So the preschool stage, let's say 0 to 7. So I know that's not all preschool, but you're the boss. Okay, you're doing the thinking for the kids. It is very important that you make them obey.
Right.
And you do that with gentleness, and you do that with understanding, and you do that with sweetness, but that's your job. Okay, you're the boss. As you enter into elementary, and we're just going to say 8 to 12 just for our, you know, purposes here.
I'm tracking.
So no longer are you just the boss, obey me. You are the guide, okay? So you're the guide. You're teaching them self-regulation, okay? So they need to know that that emotion that you're feeling, you want to hit your brother, is that going to wind up in a good place? No, that's not going to be glorifying to God, okay? So you need to think through. You're teaching them how to think, okay? As a guide, you're teaching them how to think for themselves. So as a little kid, you're thinking for them. And then as an older elementary kid, they're starting to learn to think for themselves. So you don't just, like when they're little, you can't say like, you must be, well, you can, but they're not going to get this. You must be obedient because as obedient people, we're giving glory to God. They're not going to, they're going to say like, can I have another fruit snack?
Right.
You know, they will not get that. Okay. So as they enter into where they have more of an ability to think abstractly, then you can introduce the concept of obedience. And why do we obey? You know, we obey because God is our authority, and God says to do these things. So to do them brings him glory. That's good. So I am the authority that God placed over you. And so when you obey me, that glorifies God. And that's our final aim. That's good. So you have the boss, you have the guide. And thirdly, as your kids get older, you're getting into this.
Yep.
You become a mentor, okay? Mm-hmm. You're kind of this mentor parent where you're a little more hands-off. You're never like, hey, you're on your own now. You're a teenager. That's not good.
Yeah,
they're kids for a very long time. They act like kids for a long time. So you become this mentor. You're not necessarily telling them what to do. You are helping them think still. But what you're doing is you're living right in front of them. And, you know, foibles and all, which are sometimes the most powerful. When you mess up and you tell them, oh, I was impatient again. I really struggle with patience. That's not like God. Will you forgive me? That is so powerful. Yeah, it's way more powerful than you being perfect. Mm. So what you're doing is you're having a more hands-off approach, letting them think through what is next. What will this emotion lead to? If I do that thing, what will happen? And so you're asking them questions. You're getting them to think for themselves. They're starting to develop this worldview. Mm-hmm. And if you've done a good job, they're starting to develop a biblical worldview. And so you can guide that. What we did with our kids, first of all, talking to them a lot is really, really, really important. So mm-hmm. make sure you have a lot of opportunities to talk to them. And so maybe that's, for us, it was supper time.
Okay.
So family meals were super, super important to us. And that gets harder as your kids are in sports. And so maybe you'll have to flip breakfast. We had neighbors that did breakfast. And so make sure you have time. Maybe it's your driving times. Maybe you don't put on the news or the music and you talk to your kids and you ask them questions like, hey, why do you think that kid at school is acting out? Or why do you think your teacher is telling you about evolution? You know, what do you think about that? Or what do you think about these new things that the president is saying about the immigrants or refugees? What do you think of that?
It's good.
And so you're helping them not to just say, this is what my parents said. You're helping them to develop like actual insight. And so talking about like what's in the news is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because when the children are small, you do want to shelter them from things that they don't need to know about. But as they get older, you don't need to shelter them anymore. In fact, you need to bring them into what is the real world, and you need to talk about it.
Okay, so let's review it again. Three categories. Mm-hmm. You got 0 to 7, 8 to 12, mm-hmm. kind of 13 to teenager plus, mm-hmm. and your role mm-hmm. as a parent kind of changes.
So right, totally.
0 to 7, calling it the boss.
Uh-huh.
8 to 12, you call that the guide.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of teenagers, you're calling it the mentor. Or
mentor,
the coach.
Because you're more peer-like. Now, you're never like, oh, hey, I'm not the authority. You are the authority.
Right.
The parent is the boss. The kid is not.
Right.
But you must treat them more like the adult they're becoming.
Right.
And so as you walk along, let's say, a coworker, you're more of a mentor.
Right.
That's the same thing with your kid. They're becoming more adult-like. So you're treating them more adult-like.
Yeah, I think it's really good, Tori, like, even you use the word boss. And I think even culturally right now, parents kind of like recoil.
Unpopular.
Like, ooh, hold on. Now, I don't want my kids to, well, here's the thing. Like, God is our authority.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that 0 to 7 is you're teaching that authority is good and loving.
Right.
Like actually,
it's what's best for you.
This is what's best for us is to be underneath that authority.
Right.
Right. And then you, I think, I don't know if it was you or Troy or some, they just said, hey, Mark, you're going to reap the fruit of the hard work in those 0 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the point where your children understand
authority
and you don't have to reiterate it every time.
If they know why you're doing it.
It almost feels to me like culturally we've inverted it. It's like, Now, I think you should cuddle and nurture. You're a nurturing authority,
uh-huh.
0 to 7.
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Always with grace and sweetness.
But what seems to me to happen is I almost like am like nurturing and just kind, protective, but I don't want to be too firm when they're young. And then I get to their teenage years, and I'm trying to reinsert firmness because they're crazy. And I'm like, I think if you had been, it's not always true, not a universal law, but the general is if you've taught in that authority stage well, you reap the fruit because they have a basic wiring toward respect that's been ingrained.
Right.
Is that, how have you seen that play out in your kids?
And you're not, it's not always going to look like they're great, perfect angels as teenagers.
No.
Because you've raised them to think for themselves, they're going to say things like, I don't think that's fair. And then you're going to say, why don't you think it's fair? What do you think would be a fair punishment? And that's such a great way they have to think through, like,
really good.
Oh, I did smash the car into the garage, and so, oh, I probably should pay for that.
It's good. So you got, I'm just going over, because I think for a parent, these intentional categories are super helpful. 0 to 7, you're the boss. You have to teach loving authority through authority and nurture.
And you must be the boss, and sometimes it's very, very hard to be consistent because you're exhausted. Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yes. You're tired all the time. You're a tired boss.
But stick with it.
8 to 12, you're going into the guide. You're beginning to introduce more. You're cultivating wisdom.
They're
you're
able helping to them think with more abstraction about ideas.
Okay, good. And then 13 to 18, you're embracing those abstractions and helping them.
You're walking alongside them.
That's right.
You know, you're not any longer really, you are their authority, but you're not over them in the sense that you do what I say. You let them speak about how they're understanding the world, but they do that with respect.
That's good. It's good. So, man, those are so helpful, Tori. Talk to me about some of the challenges. So you have the vantage point now of you're starting to watch your kids parent.
Yeah.
And you've watched a generation of Cornerstone families.
Right.
Kind of begin to go, you're seeing me and Crystal walk through these stages and how do we embrace this? What do you think are some of the challenges that you see right now that you really want like parents listening to this, families listening to this to kind of hear, hey, I want you to hear wisdom from a parent who is for you and I'm cheering you on, but I'm a little worried about you.
I'm a little worried.
In this way, what do you see right now?
Yeah, so what I see is I see a lot of people curating their houses to look perfect, and I see a lot of people having a little side hustle that they really, you know, want to have a lot of that a girl or, you know, upon. And I see people getting excited about their accomplishments, but what I don't see with the parents is I don't see a lot of intention in some of the parents. And I think you would never go on a vacation, or maybe some people would. Okay, and just say, I'm going to hop on a jet plane and we're going to fly wherever it's going and then we're just going to hop off and we're going to do our thing. You don't do a vacation like that.
Yeah.
You have to make plans. You make an itinerary. You buy tickets. You plan someone to pick you up at the airport. But a lot of people are parenting as if the kid just appears and, oh, well, we're just going to kind of take care of them and put out the fires and make sure they are alive and feed them. And they don't intentionally and purposely visualize what they want them to turn, who they want them to be.
Mm.
And so the kids don't have a lot of direction on this is what a haver camp looks like or this is what a Vance becomes because they haven't been kind of shaped and formed because the parents really have no agenda for parenting.
Did you have ideas in your head, words or pictures of this is the person I want my child to become? Like what? Here's one for me, Tori. Like right now, I've prayed this for my kids since they were born. I said, God, I'm trying to pour wisdom into this child because one day I want this child to become the wisest counselor I know.
Yeah.
Like I would love to someday go to Owen and say, I am stuck. Owen Vance, what do you think?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It is not there today.
Yeah.
but I'm trying to develop that. I'm trying to cultivate that.
Right.
And so that picture in my head is really motivating to me. How do Crystal and I raise our kids so that one day they're our best friends and our wisest counselors?
Right.
How do we get them there?
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting question. So we probably didn't have as specific, but we wanted to raise them to be God-honoring.
Yep. Right.
Respectful. Especially respectful to authority, mannered. We really thought it was very important for them to love one another. And to be hard workers, to love the church. You know, so we just had several things that that we would either read books with them, or we had a Wednesday morning, we called it family breakfast. And so that was kind of our intentional teaching time where we went through, one time we learned a catechism, because, you know, when your kids are learning to think, it helps to have the right answer, mm-hmm. you know? So when they don't know the right answer, it helps them to have a structure so they can place the right answer on it. So we've gone through a catechism, we did books on prayer, things like that, you know.
That's awesome. So I wonder even, like, if you're listening to the podcast, maybe an exercise would be for you to sit down with your spouse and say, what are five things we believe, like, with intention, these kids one day we hope they become
exactly.
this. And
that
then just
be
talk
so
about
good.
It. And then think, okay.
How do we do that?
Yeah, are the rhythms and habits of what I'm doing as a parent about that? Or is my basic... I think, like, I'm listening to you talking to her. What I hear is a lot of times parents, it's like our basic goal is we want the children to not die because we have fed them and given them vitamins and not go to jail and basically get B's and C's.
Right.
And I'm like, that's just an anemic view of what a person made in God's image should
be. And you don't want to have these high, huge aspirations for them, but you do want to have some, I mean, you can, but you don't want to push them in a direction for your own idols.
Yeah.
But you do want to have some idea of who you want them to be.
Yeah. Well, in every answer you gave, you didn't give me one answer. I was just so curious what you would answer. You didn't say one thing I want them to do. Every answer you gave was character.
Huh.
Integrity, hardworking, respectful, love the church. So I think that's another challenge for me as a parent. Is I think I'm like, I want my kid to be, and then I name an activity I want them to excel at. You talked about, I wanted to form them inside out. Mm-hmm. I wanted their character to look this way so they live this way. That's really powerful.
And, you know, we're very imperfect. So I don't want to act like, oh, hey, I'm the expert. But we...
Yeah, but you tried.
But we did, I think, one thing that helped us is when we messed up, we didn't gloss over it. We said, like, hey, Dad and I fought in front of you, and we were disrespectful to one another, and we want to say that's the wrong thing to do, and so we want to do better. So we weren't perfect.
That's great.
But by the grace of God, you know, we really enjoyed raising our kids. And I think that's another thing. You talked about rhythms and cadences, and I think one thing that parents also aren't doing, maybe COVID has helped this, I think that they're doing too much, and they need to stop rushing. I hated being rushed as a child. I hate being rushed as an adult. Because when you're rushing someone, you can't really be very loving. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when you're rushing, you're not very nice.
Are you talking directly to me right now?
Well, I don't know if you've rushed me. But I know that I'm not nice when I'm rushing. And I'm especially, I remember one Easter morning. You can stop me if I'm like...
Oh, no, you keep going.
I remember
one
Easter morning, so I was trying to... I like to dress all of the children to kind of look Eastery and cute. And one Easter morning, the girls were dressed alike, and I wanted to do their hair, and I wanted to, like, braid a ribbon into it. And I remember being so stressed because we were late, and I just said, just sit here. Just sit here. I'm going to braid your hair, and you're going to sit nice until I'm done. And so that really was not a very godlike expression of Easter. And so, if I hadn't been rushing, I wouldn't have been nearly as stressed. Mm. And so stop the rushing. And if you must rush, probably, I mean, occasionally, yes, you've got to rush. Kids are really slow.
Oh, my word.
Okay, so don't say I'm bad because I have to rush my kid. But don't make it the overarching, like, feeling in your home.
That's good. So everything we're doing has to come this fast.
Yeah, stop it because you can enjoy your kids so much more if you don't have this tight agenda. And so if you have too much, figure out how to skinny it down for this season. It's a very short season, really. I mean, you may feel like it takes forever, but it's a really short season comparatively to the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Like, after your kids leave the house, you and Crystal will have a long, God willing, a long season together. But those, what you'll probably have, I don't know, maybe 25 years or less of parenting of your whole life. And so slow down, enjoy it, be careful with media. That can really mess everything up. Just be super, super intentional about media because that can make you feel rushed, too much stimulation. So slow down, delight in this stage and season. Mm.
That's good. So living with intention, slowing down.
Yes.
Just all of that. Any other principles you really want to put out there to parents as we're kind of wrapping this
up? I was a fairly fearful parent. Scared of, oh, I have to control all these variables so my kids don't choke or, you know, fall down the stairs and cut their head open. You know, I was a very fearful. And so I think that's fairly common. And what helped me with that was I had to be a steward of my children and not an owner. And to do that, I had to believe that God loved them more. And that he had their best in mind and that he was sovereign over all. And that helped me kind of put that worry on the table. Like, put it on the table. Stop holding on to that and obsessing over that fear. God is the owner of these children. You're just taking care of them for him. So submit them. Submit them. It's something I have to do every day, even now. Even though my kids are getting near 30. Especially even with my granddaughter. So I am not an owner, and I am just a steward of them. So the awareness of God's ownership and his sovereignty helped me to relax, not get so nervous about everything, and enjoy them more. So I guess that would be...
That's awesome. That would Tori, first off, I super appreciate you and Brent as parents and the chance to see the fruit of that in your life. And just reflecting over this, so I'm summarizing a little bit of what we've seen. I think it's really helpful when you talk about living with intention to just even think of the game plan of the age of your kids. 0 to 7, what's the game plan here? We have to teach them why authority is good by being good authority. Over here, the guide principle, what does that look like in the 8 to 12 as we're trying to help Avery, in my mind, and Reed, in my mind, thinking about
how do I help her process
this through? And then with Owen, I'm mentoring. I'm alongside, not just over, but alongside coaching him forward.
Right, because if you're not on his team, find someone who is.
That's a great point. There's just so much wisdom inside there. And so my encouragement, anybody listening to this podcast, is take some time with you and your spouse and ask the question, how are we intentionally raising these kids to be the image bearers that God calls them to be? And that I think that could be a really, really fruitful discussion for families.
Very good.
Tori, thanks for spending a little time talking about parenting today. Really appreciate
it. Yeah, it's very fun.